Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Happy Party Friday, everyone. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, Chuck and Julie Show, brought to you by
Colorado. No, I always say Colorado. America's CitizenPress.com. That's America's with an S, CitizenPress.com. Great conservative website. Actually, I saw Tom Tancredo has a new column.
He's written. I didn't know he's such a good writer.
He's a wonderful. Great writer, exactly. And then also Dr. Julie McCallan with Denver Cytogenics. Lot to talk about today. We've got Dr. Stephen Turley coming up at 3:30. He's got an interesting column out about why the Taliban won, something you may not have thought about, but after you read it, you're like, that could indeed be true. But a lot going on today. So we wanted to start off with our friend, fellow talk show host, Karen Cataline, who's joining us. The Texas tornado.
Oh, I like that.
Yes.
I like that. Hey, apologies for not being on camera, but, I needed an excuse not to do makeup or something. Texas tornado, I really like that.
That's right. You could just get your hair.
How about TTT, the Texas talk show tornado?
There you go.
That's TTST, but that's all right. Whatever.
So we've been watching, as I'm sure you were, with horror yesterday. Although, I got my hair cut today and the lady was cutting my hair, who was a liberal, she said, even I knew that this was a bad situation. Even I knew you get the military out first, not last. And then
hairdressers have better military.
Really bad when the liberals are noticing,
Well, liberal hairdressers have better military strategy, like Chuck says, in the Pentagon, the CIA, and the State Department put together. And I think, frankly, I mean, there's ongoing threats. It can still potentially get worse. Biden today at the Jen Psaki in the news conference, whether they're saying some things like, we're going to go ahead and we're going to get everybody out. And then when Peter Ducey said, now, how's that actually going to work?
Yeah.
Even though they're not going to have any diplomat there, they're not going to have any military there. She couldn't say. I mean, my guess is
they're going to have the League of Women Voters will be taking over that part.
My guess is Biden, how stupid. Well, he thinks we're very stupid because he's telling us that, assuming that we're just going to go ahead and believe that. They're not going to get anyone out there. I mean, they made it clear. They don't care. We've said that all along. They don't care.
They have contempt. Actually, yes. Chuck and Julie, right before we went on the air today, a producer of mine happened. Well, can't say too much about him, but he's a pilot. He's a commercial pilot. And he said, guess where I was today? I said, I don't know. Where were you? He said, I have been flying Afghani refugees from Washington, D.C. to El Paso, Texas.
Oh, of course. And
where they need more refugees. Yes. They don't have enough refugees in El Paso.
D.C., no.
There you go.
You certainly would not want to have any refugees cluttering up the hoity-toity restaurants in Washington, D.C.
And
so let's just ship them down to El Paso.
If they're Democratic voters, that's, they don't need any more Democratic voters.
They're not just Democrat voters. Even the nicer ones, the ones that don't hate and loathe and death to America, are people who have an entirely different culture than we do, a tribal kind of culture. And they're being put in an army barracks because God knows we're not using it in El Paso, Texas. And notice, my producer, I said to him, this is just horrendous. This is a travesty. It hurts my soul to watch it, because where are the commercial airlines working to get out American soldiers and American citizens?
No, we don't need
that. Well, only the ones who are woke, Karen.
Well, I was talking to
somebody. And if they haven't been vaccinated, they have to pay $200 more than everyone else if you're flying Delta.
What do you think of allowing 100,000 new Muslims into the country? And he said, well, how do you know they're Muslim? I said, because Afghanistan is overwhelmingly Islamic, overwhelmingly. He said, how do you know that? So I said, well, why don't we look it up? And so we looked it up, 99.7%. Yeah. So there is a 0.3%
All right. So they want Afghani Muslims here who have a totally tribal, different culture in which they even, again, the people that don't hate our guts, have child brides, et cetera, et cetera. And let's see, they want to give special rights. I know what I was going to say. So forgive me. Because, you know, it's like drinking from a fire hose these days. That's the truth. So they want to bring in Afghani Muslims who both those that hate and kind of despise us, either one, but they won't bring in Cuban protesters who are protesting communism.
Don't want to bring in Christian Afghanistanis.
Right.
Never.
That was a whole thing. Glenn Beck was trying to get Christian Afghanistanis to come in. The State Department, everybody said, no, there's no guarantee they'll vote Democrat.
Well,
and Nancy Pelosi is busy celebrating the Year of the Woman and feminism while child brides are being used as war beauty in Afghanistan. I mean, we're living in a cartoon. If it weren't so sad,
dangerous, not for them. And let me make a point, too, because I see we got people joining us on Zoom. If you and Barney, if you want Barney almost always likes to chime in. You don't have to, Barney. No pressure.
We love Barney.
Yeah, if you're on Zoom and you want to chime in, go ahead and just unmute yourself and put your camera up. If you want to call in, 888-627-6008. You know, and Karen, I thought you had an interesting column, and that's what I kind of wanted to talk to you about, because I think, okay, we're going to be, as Americans, as individuals, in the people who are still in Afghanistan, I mean, you know, Biden, they're not going to get them out. They're going to have to deal with this. My guess is the Taliban will hold them hostage for money and things like that.
I hate to say, or kill them.
If they think they can get money out of them, then they'll hold them hostage.
No,
not that kind, from the United States. I mean, everybody, the IMF, everybody's frozen the Afghan assets. And what better way to get all those assets released? Obama just gave him flat out cash too. He'll give him just cash,
$5 billion, than to throw
a bunch of them lined up with bullets over their heads. But I thought you had, because in all of this, people are mad at Biden. They're mad at Sullivan. They're mad at the generals. But you, I thought, had a good thing. It's like, hey, wait, don't be distracted by calling for this impeachment of Joe Biden. You said, I wanted you to comment on why I think you're right, that that's important.
Well, thank you. And you can be wrong, because we're not Democrats. We like disagreement.
Yeah.
Why no one, especially Republicans, should call for Biden's impeachment. Number one, it's never going to happen until they want it to happen.
Yes.
Okay. They're in control. But secondly, we're playing their game, and we're suggesting that all we need is a change of, quote, leadership. And I call them the presidential potted plant. If we had different leadership and different somebody sitting in the Oval Office, it would change. And guess what? When people say, oh, Kamala would be different. No, she would be identical. What's happening now has very little to do with who's sitting in the Oval Office. The only difference is
Nancy Pelosi, so she'd be good too.
The only difference is that the person sitting in the Oval Office now doesn't know where he is.
Right.
But the other people would still know where they are, and they're not in control either. There are what I call the whomevers. You know, whomever is calling the shots. And even during the Obama administration, we're not real sure who that was. It may have been partly Obama, but this is Obama 3.1 on steroids, and it's all the same people in control. So what we do when we call for his impeachment, which is ridiculous, is to buy into this notion, number one, that the Democrats are mad at Biden. Well, what kind of a lie is that?
Right.
That isn't a lie. And none of this is, here's the one that really drives me nuts, and that is to think that this is incompetence. There is nothing incompetent about any of it. Just like Laura Logan, the very courageous reporter, said this, just like the corona lies and everything else, is orchestrated for the maximum political effect. And furthermore, and I'm sorry, I'm so verbose, is if people wonder how these people feel about us, they have only to look at how they're treating American citizens in Afghanistan, because they have exactly the same contempt for us.
Well, I love the CNN broadcast with Ms. Ward, where they're all shouting "Death to America" and "Push to," and she's saying, "But they seem friendly. They seem very friendly."
There she is standing there in a hijab.
Ted Bundy seemed friendly too, right? I mean, you know, a lot of Alfred Packer was friendly right up until he ate everybody.
Until he ate everybody for dinner.
Of course they were friendly. I mean, you know, if they're mean, you don't get by them, you run away, right? Well, I think
what ignorance, what insult to our intelligence to have such ignoramuses claiming to tell us what to do. And that's exactly what we've done.
And then she headed out on the first flight she could get out of Kabul.
She's smart. Yeah. Well, you know, I want to bring up and go back a little bit to Laura Logan, because she's been saying exactly that. And going back to what we were talking about when we opened the show, if the lady who cuts my hair and me can figure out that it's a bad idea to have the military leave last, I'm sure that somebody at the Pentagon could have said, Joe, let's think this through. I mean, and so her whole point has been exact. And I got to admit, I don't know for sure exactly where I fall here. I think it's probably a little bit of both. But her whole point is, no, this is happening because somebody, I don't know who, wants it to happen. She said they could stop this in a heartbeat. They could stop it right now if they wanted, and they don't want to. Otherwise, it would be stopped. And Glenn Greenwald was on Tucker, and his theory is essentially that the deep state is running things. And for a variety of reasons, this is good for the deep state. Now, they're kind of fighting right now about who's releasing names, kill lists.
I'm not sure I agree with that. I saw Glenn Greenwald say that. And I don't know. I don't think it's extensive enough, because when you walk away and leave billions of dollars of war booty and weapons that are enemies can turn on us, and then you bring the Afghanis, you know, to come and use them on us, that's not exactly accidental. It is dangerous.
Well, she's saying it's not accidental.
No, that's what her
she's
whole point is.
Laura Logan is, but Glenn Greenwald thinks it's just the deep state. You know what I think the deep state is? The deep state has sold out. They think they're going to be eaten last, and they'll be wrong, because they'll be eaten first. Okay.
I don't know about that, because they're spying on all of us. Let me interrupt you a second, Karen. We've got Jacob from Denver who wants to chime in. Hey, Jacob. Happy Party Friday. Hi. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show, along with Karen Cataline.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi, Jake. How are you?
Fine. Okay, four quick things. I live near a community that just yesterday, 12 fully vaccinated people tested positive for COVID. The second thing is that last year you had 50,000 people in the hospital from COVID. This year you have 100,000. Let's do the math. There was no vaccine last year. Why are there more people in the hospital this year than last year?
Well,
the
Jacob.
Thing is,
okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Make your other point.
Yes, two more.
Okay. The third thing is I went to give blood, and I was at the blood bank, and they have a question. Did you get the vaccine, the COVID vaccine? I said no, because I have the antibodies from when I had COVID. So I asked the nurse there, well, what's going on with the COVID vaccine? She goes, it's not transfusible. The antibodies from COVID vaccine patients is not transfusible. So they cut it out of the whole blood. They can only give whole blood, and they cut it out of the whole blood. Now, if 200 million people actually got the vaccine, that means you've taken 200 million people off the blood rolls. That's a bioweapon, in my opinion. That's the real bioweapon.
There's only one. That's only part of it. So just to clarify, you're saying that the people who have been vaccinated cannot give blood?
They can give blood, but the antibodies will be stripped out of the whole blood.
Wow.
They cannot use the antibodies from the people that have been vaccinated, because the antibodies are not transfusable. Wow. And what that means, at least to me, is you give somebody antibodies from a vaccinated patient to somebody that has COVID, you're going to kill them.
Wow. Yeah. Then it's kind of like, oh, negative or positive. Well, you know, and we'll get back to Afghanistan. But one other point on this, you know, you learn so much when you get your hair cut, if you're a woman. I don't know how guys' barbershops are. But so there was another woman came in, and I felt kind of bad because the lady who does my hair, but Gina Martinez, she's great. I highly recommend her. Blondies, Gina Martinez. But at any rate, there was another woman there who does Botox, and Gina was telling me, you know, just in case I was interested, I'm not sure what she meant by that. But anyway, she said, this girl does, and this woman came in, and she looked like a pumpkin. And my immediate thought is, whoa, I don't think I want Botox treatments from her. But she said she had just the other day gotten the booster shot, had this horrid reaction. Her face, she said, this is down from what it was. She's been on steroids for a week trying to get the massive swelling of her head. It's not just her face, it's her head down. And she's just like, yeah, they don't know what caused this. And I'm like, well, good luck with that. And then she's like, have you had the vaccine? I'm like, I'm not telling you, but I'm not getting a booster.
It's nobody's business, least of all the government.
But so Jacob, So you don't buy them on COVID. How are you buying them on? They're going to get every American who wants to get out.
As far as getting the shot.
No, in Afghanistan.
Do you believe them?
Do you believe the Biden administration is going to rescue all the stranded people in Afghanistan?
No. I think they've already turned their back on them, and so just say it is what it is, and that's it down the road.
Can I ask Jacob a question?
Sure.
If you're done.
You got it.
Jacob and I sort of know each other. We don't know each other well. And I know that you're an observant Jew.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if synagogues that you are familiar with in the Denver area are turning away congregants because they haven't had the vaccine. I wrote about two rabbis somewhere who did, and I was just livid. I tell you.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
I think after what happened yesterday and the day before, that the people that were in the synagogue that were or in this community that tested positive, even though they had the vaccine, you know, full doses, I think they've changed their mind a bit.
They're going to have to stand up eventually, and that's always the you know. Thank you for letting me ask that.
I'm going to Michigan. I'm going to Michigan in a couple of weeks, and I want to see if I'll be able to participate in the synagogue there because of listeners. So I like I called somebody. I said, "You better get me registered, and I'll send you the proof that I've had COVID and I have the antibodies."
Oh, they won't care.
No, you're supposed to get that done.
They don't
care
about it. Yeah. If they don't care how many people are dying from the vaccine and what's in the vaccine and all the rest, why would they care that your antibodies protect you? They don't care.
They don't care. Hey, Jacob, thank you for the call. Travel safe. I hope you get in. And they don't ship you off.
All right.
Well, you know, and Karen, like you said, I mean, that's been something we've been talking about on this show, and I know you've talked about it on your show, is the Democrats, they don't care. They don't care that they released all these thousands of people from prison in Afghanistan. They don't care that they've now armed the Taliban and every terrorist group that wants
they
to be armed.
They don't care that your kids are worse off with masks.
Right. CDC said. Yeah,
if little kids, God forbid, commit suicide because of the isolation, they don't care about that either. And what it begins to look like is contempt for us all.
Right.
That's what it really is.
We've got Mark Timon saying, I'm mad as hell that all the talk show hosts are saying, stand down, don't call for impeachment and or court martial. We should be standing tall and not sitting down, which is exactly what they want. And we always do. We should find out who the hell is in control and get rid of them, whatever it takes. It's time to stand up now.
Can I answer that?
Yep. And Mark,
go ahead. You go first.
Well, I was going to say, I don't think he's particularly disagreeing with you. I think you're just saying impeaching Joe Biden isn't going to get to the real person or the real people in charge.
Yes, I'm saying that the Republicans who are calling for impeachment are either wittingly or unwittingly validating the illusion that Joe Biden is in control and that something good would happen by getting rid of him. Yeah. If they're going to get rid of Joe Biden, he even said it he slipped of the tongue because that's what he does. Recently, he almost said that she's going to be president. He almost said that the other day. Somebody sent me the audio. But to buy in. What we have to do, though, is to be as honest and straight up honest as you guys are as to what we know to be true, and to stop validating the lies that impeaching Joe Biden would do anything. But the rest of what he said, I fully agree with. We must stand tall, and we must get the people who are calling the shots, because we didn't elect them to anything.
Right. Well, and
they never are elected to anything.
No, they aren't.
Part of the thing that is helpful is Mark and anyone else. And again, anyone else wants to weigh in, feel free. But that it's not like there's some guy, you know, like in the Guardians of the Galaxies, you know, the Marvel comics where that, who's the guy who has a big, he's collecting all of the galaxy stones or whatever they call them. And he's the one who's actually in charge, and you get all down to it.
There Julie is, watches I know, all
I,
of them.
I relate everything.
She has very interesting cinematic tastes.
She does.
That was politely put.
But no, I like it. You know, Fast and Furious, all that.
There isn't any
You get to watch number 9? Excellent. Very excellent.
I haven't seen it yet, but I heard it wasn't that great. Anyway,
is there really number 9? I didn't know that.
Yes, she'll get to
it. Not
no matter how bad it is.
We're on John Wick 4.
Yes. She's watching John Wick all the time. The slaughterathons just get her going, oh, did you watch that?
My husband has finally turned my head, and now I'm watching it. It's
disgusting. What's funny? And we'll get back to serious stuff, but it's Party Friday.
So it's Party Friday, right?
This is the kind of parent that I am. Yeah. So we let Rev watch John Wick with us. But then I don't know if anybody's watched Game of Thrones, but when I go downstairs, I have to watch that downstairs, because anytime you turn around, there's another naked woman, a fully naked woman.
We don't want Rev watching that.
No, I had to ask you. So it's okay to see people get murdered, you know, 50 a minute, but you can't have naked people.
Still attached to a human being.
No cheesecake on the TV. We're just going to watch them. Good old-fashioned family violence.
There you go.
That's an aside. Don't anyone call social services on me, please. but I've totally lost track.
I don't know what. Sometimes that's a good thing.
Right. Oh, so Mark is saying here, back, you have to start with someone. You have to focus on someone or something, or you have nothing. What are you waiting for? That is also a good point. One of the things I think that we should start with, Mark, is that we need to, number one, do what we can to support the people. And I guess there was something called the Pineapple Express. ABC was reporting on this, where there were groups of former military people coordinating on the ground and getting people to the airport. And they've been able to get several hundred people out to support those kind of efforts, to continually, I think, number one, call out the president when he lies, because pretty soon the mainstream media is going to stop doing that. On one hand, you know, Doug Lamborn, who was not really one of my favorites, but he did a good job grilling the general, saying, why are you closing Bagram Air Force Base? We need somebody like that to start. But I don't know about you guys, though. We do what we can, right? But I don't have a whole lot of hope in yet another congressional investigation.
Well, that'll do.
Here's
great.
The thing. There's nothing worse than doing exactly what your opponent wants you to do and having them make everyone think that they've conceded to you. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me, is that they're going to get these gullible, foolish Republicans to say, oh, impeach him. And the Democrats will go along, and the Democrats never go along with anything unless it helps them politically. And then what you have is, again, this illusion that that's going to fix it. Number one, they're not going, if they impeach him, what they'll do is they'll get him to step down. Okay, they are not going to impeach him unless it's politically expedient.
He'll do a Nixon. But as a practical matter, Joe isn't calling the shots. And
that's
what
they said.
If you brought Kamala up, she wouldn't be calling the shots.
Exactly.
You know, all the people that are hiding in the deep state or maybe in the White House aren't going to go, oh, I was real architect of that.
No, but they still want to keep lying to the public.
Well, they're still
going to
be there.
To think,
when Joe is gone, they'll still be there.
No, you're right.
They'll still be lying to the public, and they will try to rehabilitate the image by saying that Kamala, we may not like her. She was unlikable. She's whiny. She's horrible. Nobody likes her. But now they're going to rehabilitate her image, because at least we don't have Alzheimer's Joe.
See,
and all of that is political theater.
And I think, and I think a lot of it's political theater. I'm going to be, I know usually I'm the optimistic one. Here's what really worries me, though. One of the reasons they're doing this now and doing it so transparently, if that's the right word, where they're just lying to us. And even the, you know, MSNBC has to say, hey, wait, that's not true. That's a lie. Is because the one way that, and Mark, I'm going to submit, this is the real way we have to fight back. And that is election integrity. They're not worried about the fact right. that we don't like them. They're right. not worried about the fact no. that we know they're lying. They right. don't worry about the fact that you know, the America is horrified at seeing the dead bodies, the fleeing people, the horrible situation in Afghanistan. They're not worried about that because they know, you know, that it doesn't matter how many of us turn out and vote them out. They're going to win because the election, I believe, is rigged. And I think the one big thing we can do is to fight as hard as we can back against the whole, you know, stop the steal thing. I mean, we need to continue to fight against that and to push our representatives as much as we can to make sure that we have some semblance of election integrity. That's well, here, the only thing that I'll stop.
Julie, I could not agree with you more.
Here's part two of that. Yeah, election integrity, and we've got to make sure we do not have swinos pouring into Washington in 2022 and giving us a Mitch McConnell, Paul Ryan type deal. I mean, I think working for the ones that Trump endorses, assuming that he does a good job of that, and you can't be assured of that, but at least in general, he should be trying to vet them. And because we do not need more Doug Lamborns and all the rest in Washington.
No, but yeah,
we need to vet. I hope that Trump is really on top of some of the lies. Like, for example, guess that George P. Bush, I guess is his name, is running for attorney general in Texas. And he claims to be a Trump supporter, and he claims to be an independent thinker from his family. Pardon me if I don't agree with it. Pardon me if I don't trust him.
Is he now? Sanders asking, is that Jeb's son?
Yes, I believe it is.
Here's some good news for you.
And he's not. He's a Bush. Okay.
Yeah. Here's some good news for you. Trump endorsed his primary opponent. So
there we go.
Indication. Yahoo! A total fool.
Well, and here are just a couple of comments from Charlene. The shadow government and control includes Republicans. Absolutely. Dr. Donda, the magic handshaking. Look over here so you don't look at other important things. Mm-hmm. And here, this again from Dr. Donda. Some local county party heads, along with state legislators, believe the talk regarding election problems ought to stop as there's nothing there. Well, and that goes back to Charlene's point in that it involves the Republicans, too. I mean, to me, I think you're right. Don't worry about impeaching Joe Biden. What we need to do is make sure that we have fair and transparent and elections where you have to be a registered voter. You have to be an American citizen. Your signature has to match.
There's a rule of thumb. You know, there's a rule of thumb on how to fight them. If it's something they like and want you to do, don't do it. Yeah. If it's something they don't want you to do, keep doing it unless it offends your conscience.
Well, I mean,
they are so consistent in telling us to do everything that is bad for us and good for them. Even some political strategists do that. Oh, here, let me give you some political advice.
You know, let me tell a thing I was reading. There is, and then you're going to have to let you go, Karen. I'll let you have the final word. But
sure.
I was reading a study that gives me hope, and it's backed up by my own experience watching Rev, our 10-year-old, on YouTube and TikTok. So they were talking about this whole cancel culture, right, and the wokeness and stuff like that. And they said, not surprisingly, the most main wokeness, the main cancel culture people are kind of the millennials.
The hated millennials.
But they said this new generation coming up with Rev is on the edge of it, Generation Z, I think it is. They seem to be the most common sense kids. And they gave an example. I don't know how familiar people are with video games, but Rev used to play one and watch one. It's called Five Nights at Freddy's. The basic idea here is that it's a security guard who works in a diner, and all the cute little animals, the stuffed animals, turn into monsters at night and try to kill him in very gruesome ways. And that's the thrust of it, which is, and kids love it. Teenagers in particular, younger teenagers love it. And so the millennials were trying to cancel it because they found out the creator was a Trump supporter, right? So that they were trying to cancel him, and they were trying to shame this person. And a whole bunch of internet sleuths at 11 years old just trolled that. The heck out of them and force them back. And they said that this level of kids, they've watched this and they're like, you know, we're not going to quit watching Five Nights at Freddy's because it was
we got a slaughterathon to watch, and that's all right. you hippie dippy microaggression millennials right. are not going to stop it.
And that's well, a good thing. These kids are smart, I think, and I think the millennials are doing their best. No offense, millennials, but to destroy the world while the boomers just kind of sit back and take it. If you've got this new generation coming up, if they're willing to fight for Five Nights at Freddy's, you got to hope that they're going to be willing to fight for the country. At least.
Well, that's encouraging. I sure hope so.
Maybe if we can say, you know, Five Nights at Freddy's is a very similar to the U.S. Constitution.
So. Yeah, there we go. we got to let you run. Let me give you the final word, and as always, tell folks where they can find you.
Well, the only final word is to follow the blueprint. And I have a T-shirt that I bought at a place in Texas. It says, first step is stop complying. Stop complying. I do 4 and 5 days of radio a week now. I'm doing Power Hour and Main Street Radio and 3 days a week doing what's my show? Oh, yeah, Spouting Off. Anyway, so you could take a look at everything over at my website, KarenCataline.com. And I try whenever I can to watch and listen to the Chuck and Julie show. So yes, have a happy,
love you.
A great
likewise.
Weekend.
All right. Thank you, ma'am. Have a great weekend.
Thank you. That's
the
Karen
Texas
Cattling,
tornado.
The Texas talk show tornado.
We'll see you later, Karen. Thank you. All right. Switching gears, or actually in a way, kind of following gears, saying that not everything is what you might initially seem. We have Dr. Steve Turley with us. He runs TurleyTalks.com. He's an author, a commentator. Dr. Turley, we've talked to you before, I know. Thank you for your time this afternoon. Appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Chuck and Julie. I really appreciate it myself. Thank you.
So your call on the latest one, which I thought was great and actually raised some points that I had not thought about, but seemed to me to be on point, why and how the Taliban won. Why don't you just open-ended question, just kind of walk us through that.
Yeah, there are some pretty fascinating stuff. It's actually, in many respects, you must think of it as an amazing secret behind their win there. Obviously, there were some tactical issues, no question about that. You had Biden, I mean, he's received international condemnation for what many consider to be an inexcusably hasty troop withdrawal and the like. He evacuated Bagram Air Base back in July. That was their sortie air cover that was able to protect the hundreds of thousands of Afghan soldiers. And all of a sudden, they just found themselves completely defenseless, as well as demoralized. It was a horrific pullout, no question. However, it doesn't answer the question of how the Taliban were able to stay so vigilant for 20 years after having been thrown in exile, as it were. Their main base was in Qatar this whole time. And there's a fascinating reason for that, and that's, when all said and done, fertility and demographics. They have the Afghans have an extraordinary fertility advantage over Americans and Brits that played really into their favor, and it did the same thing when they were occupied by the Soviet Union for 10 years between 1979 and 1989. Back then, your average Afghan woman was having about 7 to 8 children, whereas your average Soviet woman was only having about 1 child. And what we found is that it was actually Russian mothers who mobilized a campaign to get out of Afghanistan because they didn't want to see their only son killed.
Right.
Whereas, you know, Afghan moms, I mean, nobody wants anyone killed, but
right.
with 7 or 8 kids, they were more willing to fight. The Mujahideen, the holy fight, the jihadists were far more willing to fight because, in effect, they had more to give. And what we're finding is it's very similar dynamics with the 20-year occupation with the United States. And so the average age of your typical Afghan right now, unbelievably, is 18. They're a very young people, which means that more than half of those living in Afghanistan right now never experienced life under the Taliban.
Ah.
So, I mean, you have to really let that hit you. That's why in many ways they're kind of heroes to young Afghan men. They're seen as a stabilizing force. They're seen as a symbol of vibrant Islam, and they've just never lived under them before. So they were very attracted there. And you compare that to the average age of Americans, which is 38, your average age of Brits, which is 40. You know, let's be blunt, 18-year-old boys are far more willing to fight than a 38-year-old.
That's a good point.
38-year-olds are like, look, leave me alone. I just want to watch some football and be done with it. So we're seeing a demographic factor to the Taliban's win that I think a lot of people haven't taken into consideration.
Well, and when we're talking with Dr. Steve Turley, turleytalks.com. One of the things you also went on to talk about was, you know, this is more than just Afghanistan. You see this in terms of global secularism versus the rise of religious, not just in the Muslim world, but can you talk about that a little bit too?
Yes, this is actually indicative of a much larger phenomenon going on. It's actually technically known as re-traditionalization, where we're finding more and more populations are actually going back to nation, culture, custom, tradition, and most especially religion as a way forward into the 21st century. We really are seeing sort of the modern experiment exhaust itself. Secularity, it just doesn't have answers for the problems that it causes. And so people are going back to timeless answers. They're going back to eternity. They're going back to, which is what tradition really is in all the great world religions. Tradition is simply the temporal spatial embodiment of eternity. So traditionalists aren't necessarily people stuck in the past. Traditionalists are engaged in eternity. So their traditions are every bit as relevant today and in the future as they were in the past. And so what we're finding, scholars, particularly Eric Kaufman of the University of London, a demographer and political scientist there, he's found in his study, Shall the Religious Inherit the Earth, that there is a dramatic fertility advantage across the board among conservative religionists of all faiths, as over and against their secular sort of globalist counterparts. So, for example, here in the United States, whereas evangelical women on average have 2.5 children per couple, their secular counterpart have 1.5 children per couple, which is significantly below the 2.1 replacement rate. That's a 30% fertility advantage. That 30% fertility advantage over time ends up creating a dramatically discrepant population. So if the population is 50-50, for example, 50% evangelical, 50% secular, with a 30% fertility advantage, just over 20 years, that 50-50 population actually becomes 60-40.
Wow.
That 60-40 after another 20 years becomes 75-25. And in 10 generations, 99-1.
Wow.
And that's what we're seeing throughout the world. And fascinatingly, it's contributing to a religious renewal the world has never seen before.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, the Soviets invaded Afghanistan because a communist group had taken over Afghanistan and were being thrown out. The reason why the communists were being thrown out was they were secularists. They're atheists.
Exactly.
They greatly offended the sensibilities of the rural Islamic families. And so when the U.S. came in and decided, okay, we'll give you the same thing you threw out before. We'll give you...
We're going to throw in some LGBTQ.
Yeah, you can have some fun with a diversity flag and lots of, you know, have women rule over you and all the things that you all enjoy. And the Americans said, wait a minute, They didn't like it. What's wrong with democracy? Well, it isn't necessarily they hated democracy. It's the fact that they tried to change their entire culture to a secularist one, and they didn't want it.
That's the key, Chuck. And I mean, you really bullseyed it there. It unfortunately, our credentialed class, you know, as Tucker Carlson likes to refer to them as, our permanent political class, they weren't interested in democratizing Afghanistan. They were interested in liberalizing it.
Yes.
They were interested in imposing progressive values on the Afghan people. And you mentioned the LGBT flag. The New York Times had just written an article not too long ago celebrating a flag flying in Kabul at one of the the military bases there, and how important that was for the advancement of progressive values in Afghanistan. This has collapsed.
Exactly. Let me ask you,
there are not too many gay liberation flags in Kabul today. I can tell you that.
There will not be for the foreseeable future.
Right. How does it, and a couple questions here. So because, you know, in the West, I think we are, particularly the United States, so focused on the United States. And we're like, I don't know that many people. I remember that one, some major Ivy League school just made their chaplain as an atheist, which is bizarre to me.
Harvard.
Which, why bother? But at any rate, so we think, oh no, that's not rising. But you're saying that this is, it's not just in Afghanistan, but this is occurring in other parts of the world that we may not be paying very much attention to. But this is, so we would say, well, it's not really happening here. Maybe it's not happening here, but like
happening in India with a Hindu nationalist.
Yeah, where else is this happening?
Oh my, yeah. Well, you caught that. The BJP party, the Bharatiya Janata Party in India, under the leadership of Narendra Modi, they are the single largest Democrat party on the planet by far. They are a thoroughly Hindu nationalist party. You're seeing it in Russia. Russia in 1991, when the Soviet Union fell, there were only about 4,000 churches in the whole of Russia. Let that hit you. I mean, that's 11 time zones. It's only about 4,000. An atheist to communism almost completely ravaged the faith. Today, they're approaching nearly 60,000 churches. So over 1,000 new churches a year. That's 3 churches opening a day in Russia over the course of the last 30 years. Poland, in November of 2016, had a public ceremony broadcast on national television in the presence of their president, Andrzej Duda, where the Catholic Church and the Archbishop there formally dedicated the nation to Jesus Christ. Hungary, Viktor Orban of the Fidesz party has dedicated Hungary to the building of what he calls a Christian democracy for preserving the values of Western civilization.
And he's putting
China
all
itself is going through a Confucian revival. It's just fascinating.
Hungary is going through its very much effort to increase fertility rates in the country and has had some success.
My pet theory these days is that the big tech people are trying to control the world and are doing a good job of it. Maybe you're onto something here. I mean, don't let Facebook read your columns because, I mean, even Facebook now is trying to launch like a religious Facebooky kind of experience, right? And you know, no one thinks right. they're, I mean, I don't think they're doing it because they care about people.
How are you able to stay on YouTube when it seems
We've been banned. We've been long banned.
I mean, they've been very kind to me thus far. So I guess, you know, as long as I don't hit some very limited hot button items, I'm okay.
Right.
But this one is good. This one is an important one. I mean, there's just no way around it. Conservative religions are having children, secularists are not. And if demographics is destiny, you don't need to look too far to see what the world could be like in a decade.
What about the fact, look at the refugee situation. So, you know, we're bringing, as you said, some of these people in, and not so much that they're Muslim, but the fact that they are religious. Let me just focus on that. And so we're bringing them in by the thousands into the United States, tens of thousands into Europe. You look at what's happening there. I mean, the demographics of our countries. Do you see these people? I mean, our assumption is, well, they will move into the great melting pot and vote Democrat on everything. I mean, do you see that happening, or do you see, given everything, it going the other way?
I think it's going the other way. The Democrats have moved way, way, way to the far more. It's interesting. The Democrats have moved more to the left on cultural issues than the right has, moving to the right. And so what that's done is that's alienated primarily two groups of people. One is whites who have not gone to college and therefore have not gotten indoctrinated. And that's coming from a professor of 20 years and did not get indoctrinated in cultural Marxism. And two, it's alienating non-whites who have not gone to college and gotten indoctrinated. So if you haven't gotten indoctrinated in cultural Marxism, we're finding you're not tending to follow the Democrats. Actually, it was just an article out I think it's the Washington Post, if I recall, that said the greatest enemy for 2022 midterms for the Democrats is wokeness. Yeah. In other words, the greatest enemy is themselves, because the Republicans have done a masterful job. And we have to be blunt with this. This is primarily under the leadership of President Trump, because he's wanted to fight the culture wars. And he's taken the culture wars in whole new directions, particularly right. against fake news media and the like. I mean, this has gone way beyond abortion, LGBT, and so on. And what he's done is he's been able to establish a position where if you feel disaffected by the far left movement of the Democrats, you've got a home here in a nationalist populist Republican Party.
Yeah, well, what he was able to do was make huge inroads, relatively speaking, in the Latino vote.
Right.
And if that continues, and I think it is because Latino culture is not particularly traditionally woke, that could be the biggest demographic. And all of a sudden, the border will close if Latinos start voting for
just like the
Cubans, Republicans. You know, that wall will go up in a day.
So right. So, Dr. Turley, how do you see this sort of playing out? Like I was asking, in terms of just then all of these refugees coming in, does it tend to speed up? Like you said, just fertility rates alone, from what you're saying, you know, is destiny. Does this speed that up, do you think?
So if you're dealing with our country and Europe, they're slightly different here. What we're finding in Europe is an extraordinary backlash against the refugees. So that's where you're seeing the rise of the third parties, Matteo Salvini and the Lega Party in Italy, and most recently Giorgia Meloni and the Brothers of Italy. Where you're seeing the rise of National Rally and Marine Le Pen in France. You saw the rise of the Brexit Party, and so on, Nigel Farage. We could go on and on. Yeah. The rise of these third parties is in direct response to the proportionality of these migrants coming in from Northern Africa and the Middle East. They don't want them. I mean, there's just when all is said and done, for right or for wrong, they don't want. There is an absolute sense that our culture is under attack. It is beginning to collapse. And we are losing the only place we've ever known as home, which is Europe. The problem there, just so you know, is it tends to be centered around the bullies in Brussels, as they're called in the EU. This is not illegal immigration. This is legal immigration. And that's the problem there. That's why Britain left. Britain left over legal immigration. We're tired of the mandates that the bullies in Brussels were imposing upon them. Over here across the pond, we've got the problem primarily is illegal immigration, and it's been radically politicized in terms of left versus right. The good news is the vast majority of voters right now really are America First sentiments. Whether right. they know it or not, whether they vote that way or not, is a different story. But even among African Americans, they have the most conservative view of all racial demographics on the border. African Americans are the most likely to want to shut down all immigration. It's absolutely fact. And yet, unfortunately, they vote upwards of 80-90% for the candidate who wants open borders. So it's complicated here. And right. I think in the end, what's going to happen ultimately is assimilation. That is what looks like that's what's going to happen. That's what's happened thus far. But in the and what I mean by assimilation is you start seeing what we call intermarriage, you know, just people of foreign race coming in and intermarrying with more dominant race, dominant ethnicity. And then they get acclimated and they tend to take on the politics of the dominant ethnicity.
But the one exception to that is Islamic immigrants who still...
It is. You great minds think alike. So that's the complicated element to this, right. is that the one group that we found in Europe that tends to resist intermarriage is Islam. Now, it's not all Muslims. So Moroccan right. Muslims, for example, tend to have very high degree of intermarriage in France, whereas Pakistanian Muslims have a very, very low degree of intermarriage, say, in Britain. So, you know, it gets complex there. And what, of course, we risk is further dividing among balkanized lines. That's what critical race theory is so dangerous with. It turns racism now into a weapon that we use to divide people and create tremendous amount of animosity and resentment among ourselves. Just to, again, to plug it in there, I think that's, again, what made Trump so amazing is he took that resentment that our political class loves to throw on us and towards us, so we're always fighting each other. He turned it in on itself and put it right back on the permanent political class every day of his presidency, and he continues to do it, is the resentment is always placed on politicians. It's never placed on people and on citizens. He always tried to find a union there. If we don't find that union, you know, Julie, I got to say, I mean, we do risk balkanizing. I don't see any way around that.
And wait a minute, if you assimilate, you have to have a culture to assimilate to.
Yeah,
I mean, if you're a multicultural society, there's no assimilation except to whatever small segment you belong to. As we get rid of our cultural identity, and, you know, the founding fathers are racist, slave-owning idiots and so forth, you know, what's there to assimilate to?
Although, let me go back, just a final question, or maybe a final question asking for a comment, but to something you said originally, and that is this is where there's hope, I think, because in the end, whether you agree with them or disagree or have your version of God is different, in the end, though, the secular world does not comfort, answer some of the big questions, and it doesn't give you the sense of purpose. I think some of the very basic things all of us need and that help us actually thrive, not just make a profit, that the more religious world does. And I think that's why the secular world keeps swimming upstream against very basic human needs, I think. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the world order changed just a couple of weeks ago on August 15th. If you look at it now, the secular nations, particularly the United States, have been pushed to the periphery of decision-making. Who's making the decisions now in the centerpiece of the world right now in Central Asia? Orthodox Russia, fundamentalist Pakistan, Hindu nationalist India, Neo-Confucian China, and theocratic Iran. I mean, that's the world has changed. And now demographers saw this process going on for the last 20 years. But now we've hit critical mass. I never dreamed it was going to happen the way it happened.
Right.
You know, we've been tracking with these. Yeah.
I hate to do it. We've run out of time.
You've been wonderful.
You've been great. Yeah. TurleyTalks.com. Thank you for your time. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
God Take care.
You. Thanks.
Take
All
care.
All right. Thank you to Karen Cataline. Thank you to Dr. Turley. Everyone on Zoom.
People have asked, it's Turley Talks, T-U-R-L-E-Y.
Yep.
And you'll get them all on there because he seems to have hit a strong chord among people.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's T-U-R-L-E-Y. ChuckandJulie.com. We'll post this show up too as soon as we get it back. Thank you to the great guys at BBS. Everyone have a great Friday, and we will see
you. Great weekend, folks.
See you Monday.